This is the Curious Human Podcast, and I'm so happy you found your way here. I'm your host, Rochelle Taylor, and my intention with this space and each episode is to weave together impactful insight, storytelling, and in-depth conversations that provide you with the tools to support your evolution, to understand your nature and the nature of others, and connect with other open-hearted and curious humans navigating their humanness in different ways. Here you'll hear from me, a Type 7 8-wing, alongside other types, thought leaders, and impactful voices, and we'll talk about all the things that inspire you to step into an aligned and expansive expression of your life. Things like the Enneagram, embodiment, health, spirituality, psychology, wellness, and creativity. I believe you were put on this earth just as you are, with your own unique nature, story, lessons, and infinitely curious spirit by design. So together, let's nurture our curiosity, unearth our potential for evolution and growth, and support each other as we try our best to navigate this wild ride called life. Hello, hello, curious human. I am so stoked to share this time and space with you today. Today's episode is another soul expansive conversation with a curious human who is so dear to my heart. Michelle Sabourin is a student of the Enneagram Embodiment Project, a mom of two, a full-time project manager who I have had the honor of witnessing grow and expand into, you know, these new versions and iterations of herself through my iterations of myself through my former life in yoga and wellness. And she has been a steadfast supporter of all my visions. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to get to sit down and chat with her about her nineness. And so the nine type that Michelle identifies with of the nine Enneagram types is the peacemaker, the peacekeeper, and they are the easygoing, self-effacing type. They are easy to forget what they want and merge with what others want. So typically nines will be easy to get along with and go with the flow. And today, Michelle is sharing some insight into that experience of not only being an Enneagram 9, but being an Enneagram 9 in growth and embodying new possibilities for herself. In this episode with Michelle, we talk a lot about healing the self-sabotaging pattern of the personality, in her case, of the 9 type. Remembering that our personalities are really this defense that we've created that over time we overuse and over-rely on, and that strategy will eventually lead to overwhelm and burnout. And it tends to operate in a self-sabotaging cycle or loop. If you happen to find yourself in that space of overwhelm, burnout, or you recognize within the Enneagram when you discover the system, you recognize yourself in your type's sort of shadow aspects or low-level behaviors or stress mechanisms, those are indicators that it may be the time for a circuit breaker. It may be the time to implement new strategies to get you to new destinations. If that's you, I would love for you to join me at my free live webinar series, Healing Burnout and Overwhelm, How to Unlock Your Pathway to Transformation Through Enneagram Embodiment. In this live webinar, you'll learn the 3 myths about personality keeping you stuck in the same old patterns and out of alignment, how 10 minutes a day can actually change your life when you tailor it to your nature, and what not to do when you discover your Enneagram type. Learn what shifts you'll need to make instead to lead you into that embodied potential. Go to rochelle-taylor.com/webinar to register. I'll see you there. Okay, let's dive into yet another soul expansive conversation. Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I was honored to be asked for this.
I'm so excited to connect with you, and not only because I've known you, you know, for years and seen you grow, but also because you're an Enneagram 9. And 9s are, all types are wonderful and special in their own way. But 9s are unique in that, you know, there are 9 types, and the 9 is the most able to sort of empathize, you know, step into all nine of the types and really see things from all perspectives, which is why we call them the peacekeeper or sometimes the mediator, because they're able to really embody how other people feel. And I love Enneagram 9s for this reason. And I also find a lot of Enneagram 9s drawn to Enneagram work. So I am very excited to chat with you. And a lot of my education happens through listening to panels, right? So panels of 9s and panels of the types. And with the 9 type, one of the best things that you can do is let us know you. Right? Know you, the people.
Not who you want me to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the people in your life, the greatest gift. So I'm so excited for the space. And I know it's out of your comfort zone to even do this. So I'm so excited that you're here. Let's jump right in. So let's tell our listeners a little bit about you, what you do, and how you found the Enneagram.
Sure. So my name is Michelle Sabrin. I'm a project manager by trade for a general contractor in Winnipeg. I am a mother of 2. They'll be turning 2 and 4 in the summer. So that takes up most of my spare time. Mm-hmm. Being a working full-time mom with 2 young kids is no joke. The weekends we spend mostly just doing family adventures and trying to do the most that we can to have new memories together. And we love to travel. Which, funny enough, that was originally outside of my comfort zone, but my husband is an 8, so he always has grand plans, and he always takes my opinion into consideration. But at the beginning, when we first started dating, I found that obviously I would just go with the flow mm-hmm. as a 9. So yeah, he would come up with these plans, be like, oh, okay, that sounds cool, let's do that. So now after getting into the Enneagram, I'm kind of jumping all over the place a bit, I apologize, but, getting into the Enneagram, I'm realizing that I need to figure out myself what I want in order to voice it. Cause that's one of the problems that I've always had, was figure out exactly what is it that you actually want, not mm-hmm. what you think your parents want, not what you think your partner wants, society, like. It's so easy for me to get trapped in that my whole life, and getting into the Enneagram has really opened up the doors for me for that, for sure.
Amazing. And I think this is one of the reasons why I feel that 9s are so drawn to the Enneagram, is because their sin of choice is a self-forgetting. Mm-hmm. And the Enneagram is a tool for self-remembering. Yeah. Right. So it's like, oh, this can help me remember who I am and what I even want in the first place, because I can't voice it if I don't know it and feel it myself. Mm-hmm. What do you love about being a 9?
I've always been able to get along with people. It's rare that I've had a conflict with someone that I haven't been able to move past. So yeah, that's probably my favorite thing about being a 9 is my ability to get along with most people. You know how if there's like a group of people that aren't always typically together, and there's usually 1 or 2 people within that group that kind of brings those 2 groups together? I feel like I'm often that person. So it'd be like these 2 groups would never be together if it weren't for me, which is often something that has come, it's been a common theme throughout my life for sure.
And that's the magic of the 9, right? Mm-hmm. That is the ability to go, hey, I mm-hmm. can see the beauty in this energy and experience their energy. And I can see the beauty and experience this energy. And I can also find the bridge to help people come together, right? Mm-hmm. Because really, that's what 9s really want, is everyone to be connected and everything to be in harmony. Right?
Yes.
Harmonious. That's that the core desired feeling of the 9. But of course, just like all of our types, we recognize that we can only get there when we're willing to sort of move into the thing we avoid, which for the 9 type is conflict. I know you talked about, you know, easy to get along with, but in that avoiding conflict, in that being easy to get along with, what are some challenges that you've encountered?
Specifically with work, as a project manager for a general contractor, you kind of are a liaison between your sub trades and your client, and you're kind of a middleman. Like there'll be points where you have to see both sides in order to find common ground and make a decision on, oh, like this cost wasn't covered. Why wasn't it covered? It wasn't specified in the contract documents. That's like a clear reason why you would be on this person's side, not necessarily their side, but you could just voice their reasoning to the other party, if that makes sense.
Right. You can actually take what they're saying and explain it in a way that the other party understands.
Yeah.
How has knowing about your nineness, right, about that self-effacing nature, that shying away from conflict, and yes. and the really the nine's focus of attention goes on merging with others, right? So who can I merge with? And so how has knowing all of this about yourself changed your life or impacted your life?
Definitely more assertive than I ever was before. It was so easy for me to just side with someone else and just go along with the flow. But yeah, definitely I've become way more assertive than I ever was before.
And what impacts have being more assertive, you know, and again, that's the work of the nine, is stepping into your power and asserting that power. And so in that asserting your power on your growth path, what impacts has had that had on your life?
I get more of the things that I actually want. And yeah, the biggest part.
Feel?
Yeah, it feels great. You know, like no one's going to advocate for yourself like you will, right? Like everyone thinks they have your best interests in mind until they know what you actually want. Like they might not know what your heart desire is. The only person who knows that is yourself, unless you voice it to someone else. So that's the biggest for sure.
Right, is knowing that heart's desire and knowing that I have to know it first if I'm ever gonna have a chance of having it.
And doing that work to find out exactly what it is, which I find is often hard to figure out for me, exactly what I want.
Absolutely.
For some people, it might not be. I don't know. But for me, I find it a little difficult.
Yeah. And then so what have been some of the practices, some of the tools, some of the knowings that have helped you sort of get there? And of course, it's always a journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's helped you get there and figure that out?
Well, definitely through stillness. So may that be breath work or meditation. I don't do it for very long, max like 10 minutes, unless it's like a yoga nidra where I'm like doing it and I'm falling asleep at the same time. But I don't really have the time to do it any longer than that. I would love to, but it just
but I think
it's hard to find a quiet space.
can I use my gifts of my seven nature to reframe that
yeah,
you are a working mom of two who is making 10 minutes of space for her to be still and breathe. And that is worth celebrating.
Yeah.
No, it's not just definitely 10 minutes. Like it's amazing. So
it's all you need, really.
And it's all you need. But that reframing of like, I'm not going to come at this, like it's not enough already. And how has that 10 minutes impacted you?
Yes. 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 Majorly. And another tool that I've used is, would say journaling, but pro and con list, like taking it back to the basic stuff. But yeah,
vision piece.
Yeah, doing that work and seeing it all laid out in front of you is huge for figuring out what it is that you actually want. So yeah, I would say those are the two biggest tools, and even just conversations with my partner, and just and work. How- like he's very questionable, so he's good at getting down past my nineness to what I really want to. So that's helpful.
Right. Like he can help as an eight. He can access what he wants pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right. Yes. And he can help teach you that. And it's interesting. It's funny. I was out with a girlfriend yesterday who is a nine, and her partner is also an eight, and was a client. So, like the 8-9 relationship happens often. I find, but again, and then learning, what can I learn from my partner? How can we serve each other with our skills, right? How can his eightness help me in my growth as a nine? What impact has this had in your relationship?
He's always, I don't want to say push me, but he's always tried to dig down to find out what my actual ambitions are, and always tried to push me, because I'm at my previous job, like I wasn't super happy with it for quite a long time. So he was always pushing me to look elsewhere and find out exactly what it is that I do want to do and not be afraid to go for it. So he's kind of forget the question now that I do it. I do that all the time.
Well, the question was, what impact has knowing about your Enneagram type, you know, having this information, had that impacted your relationship?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, even just, I was talking about it before, but like, we like to travel. So just our travel plans, usually he would come up with a plan and be like, okay, that sounds great. But now I'm like doing the work to figure out what exactly I think would be a good vacation for myself and for our family, of course, taking everybody into account, but just something that I actually do desire to do.
Well, it's an investment of your energy, and you to be an expression of what you want.
And even something as small as like getting new patio furniture for the summer, where he's more conscious with our budgets, and like the house that we're at, we're not going to be there forever either. So just investing into the actual space where we are. But I just know how much time we spend outside in the summer, if it ever happens, with little kids. Like, you're out there.
Assert yourself
all day.
I want this.
Yeah.
I want this, and I work hard, and I want our energy to go here.
Yeah.
And that is not a small thing for a nine.
No. Especially against an eight, right?
Like, especially against an eight. And when we are talking, the Enneagram gives us really great insight into how we manage our energy, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we start to think about everything in terms of energetic resources, well, whether we're talking about, you know, money or our travel plans or how we're spending our weekends, right? Those are all ways we expend energy. Understanding how your type expends energy and your partner's type, right? Manage energy, then to come to find a place of balance. How do we work together to manage our energy that is making us both feel fulfilled and content, and that we're having our needs met?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And so I'm curious, as an Enneagram nine, what do you wish people knew about nines that maybe they don't know?
I think often I feel rushed to come up with answers to appease another person. So then I might babble a bit. But just taking the time to think about what I want to say before I start. I feel like just being patient with a nine, not knowing that it does take a little time for us to use our head and come up with what we want to say to actually, before we can actually voice our opinions, is a big thing. Like, it's not always at the tip of our tongue. Everything, depending on what it is.
I love that you're speaking to something that we cover in the Enneagram Embodiment Project, which is each of the types' perspective on time, right? And the pace at which they move, and how it's for, you know, there are three elements of time: past, future, and present. And each of the types has a different relationship with it. And the nine's particular stance with time often feels overwhelmed by the other types. Right. And how they and how quickly they might move. So understanding that, it's a game changer for relating with others. So I love that that's what you want to share with others, that, right, be patient. And again, and what you're not saying, and I'll say, because I'm a more aggressive stance, that, that others overwhelm you, right? That actually it's that you need more time to process. And others need you, and that's fair for you to ask for, right?
Yes. You don't have to have all the answers right away.
No, you absolutely don't. And I'm curious, and now that this is a nice segue into the Enneagram Embodiment Project, how did being a part of that program change how you understand the Enneagram?
Oh, well, it definitely, at the beginning, it gives a great overview for everybody, And then just understanding, okay, I'm a 9, but that also relates to like a 3 and a 6, if you're healthy or unhealthy, like just how it connects to all the other types, because there's so many different triads to it that it can be overwhelming, but you are able to provide it in such a consumable way, I guess. And then, I mean, the biggest one was doing the breath work that made a big impact in my life. Cause you see breath work, you're like, okay, that looks nice. But to actually do it consistently.
The embodiment piece.
Yes. It makes the biggest difference for sure. And sticking with it and having the group of like-minded people with you, and the community that came about for the embodiment project was really helpful as well. Cause you kind of see other people and how they're processing the changes and the Enneagram.
In the Enneagram, you know, we're all learning from each other. And just like you said, right, like we have relationships with the other types, with the other numbers, and then understanding our own through seeing those other types, you know, mm-hmm. on their growth path helps us too. And this remembering that we can all learn from each other.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
And how did the Enneagram Embodiment Project change how you understand yourself and your 9-ness?
I always felt like I was supposed to just be a patient person, and motherhood has definitely taught me otherwise, which I'm sure you can relate with toddlers. So just incorporating that time for myself in order to do my little bit of practice that is just for me. I've become way more patient with my children, for sure. They're just on such different speeds, like going from a baby, like now they're getting more on the same speed, but from a baby to a toddler, toddlers are just the slowest when they want to be, mm-hmm. or they want it done now. And babies, they always just want it done now. So yeah. it definitely affected my relationship with my children and my patients, for sure.
I love that. We all could use a little, I like that you've recognized, it's like, I thought I should be patient. Mm-hmm. I thought I was a patient person. And sometimes, you know, again, understanding your type, but with your 9-ness, kids and toddlers and how they trigger you brings up your anger.
They disturb the peace too.
They disturb the peace. They do not keep things peaceful, and they do not keep things without conflict.
Yes.
Right?
Everything nature. I try and avoid.
So they're greatest teachers, of course, but I love but oftentimes those people who are the safest for us to show those emotion with, right? Like those are the relationships in which we really have to work on and be like, right, because your kids see you, they know you, they see, they know you. So, that
zero judgment too.
Zero judgment and will and quick to forgive. Of course, we can learn so much from our kids, but the more patience that comes when you start to really embody the Enneagram and remembering it's a spiritual tool, and just like spiritual tools like yoga, like you apply it to your everyday. There are practices that go with the spiritual tool to your day that help to facilitate you on your path, which is forever, right? You're always, your 9-ness is always there. You're always going to be coming up against that compulsion to lean away from conflict and from your heart's desire and into someone else's. That's always something you're going to be working with. What would you say to someone who loves an Enneagram 9 and wants to support them in their growth?
The biggest thing would be if you see them and they seem uninspired and kind of sluggish, which I mean, sloth is our, I can't think of the word right now.
Our emotional vice, sin of choice.
Yes, right. So if you see that, just understand that they might need to be inspired. They might, like with my husband, he's very good at, we can be stubborn too, right? So you can't come on too strong, but it's just asking questions is the biggest thing without judgment, I find. That is the most helpful for us. Because the second there's judgment,
that help you remember you. Ask questions that help you remember you.
Yeah. And one thing that I've done, I learned about in a YouTube video, is just making a list of, like, it's called a discomfort list. So it's things that are outside of your comfort zone, but not so far out of your comfort zone that you're never going to do them. So it's just like baby steps. So I keep a list of those items. And like, this could be one of them, doing a podcast with you for sure. That's not in my comfort zone, but I'm doing it.
And you're doing so good. Thing.
Yeah. So maybe helping your partner, or your friend, or whoever realize that you can take baby steps. It doesn't have to all be at once, all or nothing too, for sure.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. For anyone who is thinking that they might want to join round 3 of the Embodiment Project that starts at the end of May, what would you say to them about the experience?
The tools that I provided through the project, it really did change the way that I interact in my daily life, for sure, for the better. And it gave me the courage to switch jobs, which I did do. I was at my old job for 8 years. Didn't love it, didn't hate it, but it just wasn't fulfilling. And so it gave me the Enneagram, and through the Embodiment Project gave me the courage to understand that it's my nature to like stay and not rock the boat, go with the flow. So it got me out of my flow. So if you want to get out of the flow, it's a good place to start, for sure.
Just get out of the pattern, right? Just get out of the same old. I love that. And then now, of course, your round of the Embodiment Project was a few months ago. You've changed jobs. Are you feeling more fulfilled? Are you feeling more empowered? Are those ripple effects still felt, you know, a full season later?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely more fulfilling. It is challenging at times, but I mean, any job is, especially a new job where you're still learning processes and everything like that. But yeah, it's definitely been much more fulfilling than my old job, and it's exciting.
Yay, amazing. Good for you. I'm so happy for you, and thank you so much for stepping outside of your comfort zone and sharing this space with me. I know that there are curious humans out there who are nines or love nines who are so thankful for your insight. So thank you, Michelle, and we will see you again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great talking with you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, take a minute to give us a 5-star review and help us connect with more curious humans. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.